Greetings in Christ. I'm Pastor Jacob Heine. The New Testament reading for today is from Luke chapter 9, verses 37 to 62. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. And behold, a man from the crowd cried out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." And behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth and shatters him and will hardly leave him. And I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon threw him on the ground and convulsed him. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy, and gave him back to his father, and all were astonished at the majesty of God. But while they were all marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men." But they did not understand the saying, and it was concealed from them, so they might not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this saying. An argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. But Jesus, knowing the reason of their hearts, took a child and put him by his side, and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me, and he who is least among you all is the one who is great." John answered, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he does not follow with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him. For the one who is not against us and against you is for you." When the day drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him, because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. And they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of Jesus, amen. As we read the stories of Jesus' life, it's easy to get fixated and to notice the miraculous, the powerful, the amazing. There's Jesus. He casts out a demon that's possessed a boy, and everyone marvels at what he's done. Jesus, who knows the hearts of his disciples, they're arguing over who's the greatest, but he knows what's in their heart. And yet, his response is to bring a small child into their midst, to be like this child. When he sets his face to go to Jerusalem, it's one focus, it's one direction. And that's all he cares about, going to Jerusalem, because at Jerusalem, he will do what he came to do, to suffer, die, and to rise again, for you, for me, for all. It's easy to get caught up in the big, flashy, and to miss the small, the beautiful, the amazing things that Jesus does. As he instructs his disciples about grace, not consuming cities with fire from heaven, as in the days of old, but consuming sin in the shadow of the cross. He comes to bring forgiveness, grace, peace, love. And as he sets his face towards Jerusalem, it's not the destruction of a city or a people or even just an individual who isn't following with the disciples. It's actually the destruction of sin, which is done through his very body as it hangs on a tree. For him who became, who knew no sin, became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. His resurrection promises us that that has been accomplished, and that we have life everlasting with him. The joy of being resurrection people is to know that Christ accomplished the work that was set before him, that he set his face for, not the destruction of the world or the creation which he loves, but rather the restoration and the redemption, and looking forward to the resurrection in Christ. Amen. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name, and nourish us with all goodness, that we may love and serve our neighbor, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.